Welcome on a bumpy choo-choo train.
That's Mop Mop with Locomotive. It's also to get your locomotive going. Put some pep in your step there and give yourself a little victory dance. You've come to the end of the week. It's from his 2008 album, Kiss of Cali. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and you know it is Friday, the day we free our minds. You can raise issues and exchange information, express your opinions. This is an open forum. And we're hoping that you, of course, have an opinion about something and you'd like to share it. We are accustomed to operating here at a pretty high level. And today should be no exception. 888-874-4888 is the number to call. Lots of things to comment on. I'm sure many things that you have been observing in the news and programs that we have covered here that you may have additional information and opinions about. 888-874-4888. Especially interested in welcoming new callers and new listeners. And I want to thank, as you start off, while the calls are coming in, I want to start off by thanking those of you who have started study circles. And they seem to be growing. People who are on their own organizing their friends and into a circle. They don't have to be physically close to each other, but they somehow have a group that they organize. And they listen to the program and discuss it further among themselves. And I especially appreciate it because it's a way of promoting the program and promoting PRN, and I'm interested in both. Thank you so much for that and for your messages. I hear from you, and I think it is incredible that people are doing this. It's fantastic. So thank you so much. All right, we start off in New York. Ma'at, you're on the air.
Yes, greetings to the PRN Eutrice Lead Story family.
Thank you.
I want to mention two very important programs that I heard on Guns and Butter, which is a KPFA program, Pacifica on in Berkeley. However,
Guns and Butter, if I may just add, comes up immediately after my program today, so you may want to stay tuned.
Oh, excellent.
For that.
After your program?
Yes.
Oh, I'm so excited. You know, but this morning on BAI at 6 a.m., Bonnie was on with Michelle Chosadowski. I'm not sure if I'm saying his last name correctly. He's the economist who founded Global Research. So it's globalresearch.ca. And she did an excellent program with him that went into who is ISIS, who created ISIS, and, you know, in terms of the Western intelligence forces such as the CIA, MI6, and the Mossad. And he even mentioned that a Paris Match magazine, I think it's like a tabloid, he said, on October 3rd, if I have the date correct, actually did a story saying that France was about to have its own French-style 9/11. So I said, suggest everybody tune into that. And also, in terms of if you have to give a gift, not it's being a have to, but you know sometimes there's mandates for some things that you'd rather not give. Give a book. And Michelle Chosudovsky has some excellent work on the war on terrorism, the fraud that it is, the globalization of poverty, and look at giving a book. And also from Trine Day, T-R-I-N-E Day Publishers. That's a small publisher that has The Way the World Really Works, such as Fleshing Out Skull and Bones, Investigations into America's Most Secret Society. And Utrice will give you some of the African classics that you want to give for those who don't have those titles. Lastly, Bonnie, I guess it was her regular time on BAI last Wednesday at 9 a.m., she had on a brother named Frank Morales. And besides his work on, I remember his work on 9/11 Truth at St. Mark's Church in the Village, he also did a whole piece that Utrice, you're going to have to look at, because he explained how the whole shelter system was set up when the National Coalition for the Homeless, instead of suing for housing and homes for the homeless, they set up low-intensity prisons. And they got 11 squats where they took over abandoned buildings. So that's a very interesting history that I hope that you'll look into and see whether you can connect and bring us some information. Utrice, you did a great job. The last two programs, I'm really excited about what you did, and keep up the good work. The last two programs I heard.
Thank you so much for your call today. From Brooklyn, Dave, you're on the air.
Oh, hi, Utrice.
Hello.
Yes, you have been more than adequate replacement for my losses. And one of them you know well, Robert Knight.
Thank you.
And the other one wasn't as important as Robert Knight to me, but I listen to him after Gary's show every Sunday. It's Michael Rupert. I'm sure you heard of him.
Sure, absolutely.
Supposedly, he committed suicide on his own will. That doesn't seem possible to me, but that's what they say. But I called about the dumbing down of America again. I won't recite any song lyrics because they go back to Bob Dylan. Have you noticed the skies being sprayed?
The sky?
Being sprayed, planes going by, and they're not your normal contrails, the chemtrails.
Oh, no, I haven't noticed that.
Have you heard about those?
Well, yes, but, you know, these days everything is up for questioning, so what do you have to say about it?
There's aluminum in some of the contrails, I should say chemtrails. And that's one of the dumbing down agents. And so is fluoride that they're putting in the water, masking it as, oh, it'll prevent cavities. Fluoride is a well-known, well, it's not well-known, I wish it was. It calcifies parts of the brain. Calcification, it's a dumbing down process. It affects the pineal gland and the pituitary. And that's a synergy that's hard to beat, because you have to drink the water, and there's not many filters that filter out fluoride. Some even boast that they don't eliminate the fluoride. And, of course, anything that's sprayed in the air is eventually going to come down. So it will get in everything, the water, the food. So that's one of my points about the dumbing down of America. Have you ever read sorry for the hesitance, the source field investigations.
I didn't get what the name was.
Source field.
No,
the
I have not.
Source field investigations by David Wilcock. I try to get people to read that book, and they're so dumbed down and immature that they can't get past the second syllable of his last name.
Well, here's the thing. You can't say people are dumbed down and so immature. I mean, the idea is that some people just don't know. I don't know it, and I don't think I'm dumbed down or immature because I don't know it. People are different phases and stages in their lives and their development. And Kwame Ture keeps saying that the task is to, for the conscious to help the unconscious become conscious. So that's where we are.
Well said. But my point with that is they can't get over the second syllable of the author's last name. That's how I'm saying how immature they are. I would like to know somebody personally, like you. You have the conscious that I want to be with. I don't have anybody who has the conscious I want to be with. I told you about a month ago that I got rid of all the negative people in my life, which was just about everybody.
Okay.
I have nobody like you.
Well, let's just say, therefore, Friday becomes a very key connecting day for both of us. You to me and I to you. And we can start there.
Especially for me, because you have people who have the conscious. I'm sure you
Yeah,
know.
Well, you know, it's a process. Like I said, people have to make an effort to get to know about the world around them, and it's a process. We can't assume that everybody's there. You know, you start where you can, and that's basically the whole thing. As long as you start, though, and that's the good thing. Thanks, Dave, for your call today and for your contribution. Los Angeles, Ron, you're on the air.
Good morning, Eutrice, and as
hello.
Our other callers have... hello?
Yes, I'm listening.
Hello? Yes. Yes, good morning. As some of your other callers have pointed out, you know, your show is fantastic, and in these very complicated times, you do illuminate key points that it's important to, you know, be aware of.
Thank you so
and,
much.
And with that... Mm-hmm. With that, a couple of your broadcasts a couple of days ago, you were commenting on the situation in Chicago, the McDonald case.
Yes.
And this recent trend of quote unquote Black Lives Don't Matter, where what they do is, you know, kill Black people and, and then if they, by chance, out of the 1 in 10 chance they get caught, I'll just, you know, pay them several million, and the family will just shut up and go away. And unfortunately, I think that's the situation in Chicago. You know, the young brother, McDonald, was, if you kind of look at his background, I think he was trying to find his way. And he was in and out of foster home, et cetera. And but when the government came with $5 million, the quote unquote family took the money and ran, and they were really also pushing to not have the video be displayed. And I think you elaborated on that in a couple
yes.
of broadcasts earlier.
Yes. So, what are your thoughts about that? By the way.
Well, actually, I like to get a copy of that broadcast, and it's not posted yet on the website. So if you could further...
You could go to leadstories.podbean.com, always on PRN, of course, the PRN archives, but if not posted there, try leadstories.podbean.com, and you may find it there. But what do you, what are you saying then today? What are you saying to us today about the scenario?
Well, I think it's a troubling trend, and I think that Black people or people of consciousness needs to address this issue of people getting bought off. And when you have these kind of incidences, too, you don't want one of the so-called leaders like Al Sharpton. He was telling the people in St. Louis with the Mike Brown situation, don't you do this and don't you do that. You don't think you're more upset than the family, and the family saying to, you know, do the usual thing of forgive and et cetera. And that, I think that needs to be put in check, because actually what really is occurring is those same people in St. Louis that came to Mike Brown's funeral and were quote unquote enraged, they could be next. So it's not just the family.
You hit upon a very important point, and I thank you for listening to the program. The thing that I was saying is that we have to look at this thing in a comprehensive way. Immediately, we need to understand that we have to we can't be neutral here. There's no room for neutrality. You have to take a side.
Mm-hmm.
And it is clear to me what side you've got to take. You know, I just don't see that anybody could somehow say, well, gee, it's an unfortunate situation, but let's see how it all plays out. No, you have to take a side. The statistics tell you that you have ample room here, more than enough room to be safe in taking a side. But I was intrigued by the fact that you said something. I want to return to the phrase because it hit me, and obviously it hit you. You said this young man, based on what we have learned, the coverage so far, you said this is a young man trying to find his way. And why did you say that?
Well, I said that because of he's quiet as is kept. He's no different than, say, neurosurgeon, presidential candidate, Ben Carson. You know, some of the things he said he's done in his youth, he could easily be gunned down 16 bullets by a policeman. Or even in the case of former President George W. Bush. You know, experiencing life, going from childhood into adulthood. But if the society takes a perspective that, quote unquote, Black lives don't matter, George Bush is available to have that growth process. Mm-hmm. And Ben Carson is, quote unquote, fortunate enough to have withered that storm. But this gentleman, oh no. And he also is Black. Black lives don't matter. He gets taken out.
Thank you so much, Ron, for your call today. Very enlightening. And I thank you for contributing to the program today. Let's go to New York. Willie, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, beloved. How are you doing?
Fine, thank you. How are you?
Okay. Your program on Thursday, beautiful program. Well, that was a great program. I love that. Which you
thank
always
you.
Do a great program in a way, you know. But going back to what that brother was saying, well, Black lives does matter. That's nonsense. It does not matter. Because if Black lives mattered, we would not behave the way we do. It's very simple. We're not concerned about Black lives. Listen, think about this. Yesterday, I text everyone my friends, happy genocide, murder, robbery, rape, and slavery, because that's what you're celebrating, and put a whole lot of money into it. If we really cared about our lives, not one of us would be sitting at no table with no turkey on it, because actually, the turkey is not on the table. The turkey is sitting at the table. Why do you laugh? Why do you laugh, Esther? Why do you laugh? I'm not understanding this.
It's just the way you put it there. The turkey is not on the table. The turkey is at the table. Okay. Now explain what you mean by that.
Look, they're choking and hanging us all across America. We have it on video. Okay. We have to do something if we really care. You can't just march up and down and that kind of crazy stuff. You can stand on whatever you want to do. That's fine. But we have the blueprints for those who came before. And for example, Montgomery bus boycott. Let's say we are serious about this thing. Okay. Yesterday. As a matter of fact, a whole week, we don't spend any money at all. And by the way, we're not spending any money Black Friday. And, let me take one step further. Christmas, too.
Just today, in Chicago, they have begun essentially a boycott of businesses and urging people to stay away from the retail stores and in protest as a symbol of, their discontent, not only with what has happened to Laquan, but Laquan McDonald, but the Laquan McDonalds that have not yet received justice. So that started today.
If we really care, Utrecht, nobody should have to tell you this. You see what I'm saying? If we really cared about one another, or our lives matter. Because, look, if we really want to stop this thing, tomorrow we could stop it. Just like I said, the boycott. That's all. You can march all you want, stand on your head, whatever you want to do. That's right. But I know for sure that most businesses, they're operating at a deficit till this time of year. It brings them through. Now, imagine how many stores we shut down. The merchants may say, well, we ain't going to do that. Okay, that's fine. That's good. Don't care about that. The tax base, the city, the state, you're losing that money. You see what I'm saying? Now, what do we want in return? Okay, we want laws made and enforced. And the police officers that are doing the killing and the choking, all that wonderful stuff, we want them suspended without pay. Now, after trial, if they're found innocent in a court of law with just people, then you get your pay retroactive. Now you can't pay your mortgage. You're going to have a problem with your children, college tuition, and it'll stop. It's very simple.
So the key, the economic issue, economic activity, economic boycotts, these are key to the solution you see.
That's right. And those who want to march and stand on their head and all kind of crazy stuff, wonderful stuff, let them do it. But that is the key to it, because we have the blueprint for it. You see, here's one more thing. I remember you had introduced us to a brother, one of the finest minds we've had in this country, Amos Wilson. And he showed, I think you should reintroduce that brother, because he showed that we are psychologically out of our minds. And guess what? The longer I live, the more I realize that it is scientifically out of our mind. And the longer I live, the more I realize how valuable these people are, just like you are. But I think you're still crazy. Here's why. There was this program. You went off. I said, this poor sister, she's going off. We don't care about that. And she's getting all bent out of shape. She's out of her mind. Because, again, if we... I'm serious. I said, my sister is out of her mind. It was right. I mean, there she is.
16 out of my 92. Oh,
well, that was Amos's theory. We are, in one way or the other, we are all out of our minds, and it is necessary for us to be out of our minds in order for the system to work as efficiently as it does. And that's true. It really is. Thanks a lot. Thanks so much for calling today, Willie. Thank you. Berkeley, Harvey. Wonderful Harvey, you're on the air.
Hello, wonderful Utrice.
Hello, how are you doing?
Very well, thank you. And I'd like to talk about today about the fractal entanglement connection when it comes to the human race and why it's so important.
Well, and wait, first a minute. Wait a minute there. We just have to have that phrase translated. Fractal?
The fractal entanglement.
Entanglement.
That,
what is
yes,
that?
That's what, yes, which means that we are all one but different from each other, and I'll explain why. There are so many forces out there that trying to tear us apart, make us see each other as different, scary. We're constantly being divided and conquered. And even our language is always being twisted on us. One example is that it's okay to be a socialite, which is a rich person, it's desired lifestyle, but it's not okay to be a socialist. And the reason for that is the word socialist means essentially the sharing of wealth, which is not a good word in capitalist society where the winner takes all. And but the good news is that according to the latest physics, we have Newtonian physics, which essentially has always been taught, and it's the one where we're all separate, quantifiable, and measurable. But the new findings in quantum physics, which are being verified every day, say that essentially that we are all entangled, and the possibility that the Big Bang, which was essentially the primordial atom, exploded, creating the universe as we know, and we're all part of that primordial atom. So we are all connected on the quantum level, which is the study of the smallest particles in the universe. And at the same time, we're fractal. Fractal essentially is about iteration, and iteration, an example of iteration is that we live day after day after day after day, but each day is different, and the same thing applies to human beings. Human beings give birth to human beings, give birth to human beings, etc., but each human being is different, and I consider that the gift, because that means that variety is the spice of life. Every one of us is different, but at the same time, we're all quantangled. Quantangled is quantum entangled. So I believe that nature has provided this fractal entanglement connection as far as the human race is concerned. And the reason this is really important, that we start seeing each other as one, and at the same time appreciating the fractal nature, being that we don't get bored with each other, because if we were all the same, it would get boring so fast. But the truth is that we might be getting closer to our introduction to the extraterrestrial world or the interdimensional world. And if we're so busy here on our planet killing each other over philosophies, economies, religions, how are we going to be seen as the other? And how will this reaction take place? I think it'll be most probably deadly. So it's important that we start seeing each other as fractally entangled, and therefore that can lead to us, perhaps that's when the other, the true other, will show itself, because right now we're just at each other's throats constantly. Look at all the wars around the world. I mean, we're acting crazy here. So I'm looking forward to a new consciousness on this planet, and it's a fractal entanglement consciousness.
All right. Well, one question, though. How are we so sure that in this other world, if it does exist, that the same mindset doesn't also exist? This mindset of people killing each other and being terrible to each other.
Well, it turns out, according to UFO lore, if you go to YouTube and you start watching some of the UFO stuff about, you know, what are the aliens, it turns out that they are like us. There's good ones and bad ones, and ones with ambitions that work against us, and some work for us. It's a very funny situation. But they could be more like us than we imagine. And at the same time, they could be so different that we can't imagine. So it's, we're entering into a new, you know, we're heading out ourselves. We're off the planet. We're putting our footprint on Mars. We've been on the moon. We got our satellites. We've already seen the surface of Pluto. I mean, we are looking, and we're always looking for a new home. You know, our astronomers, we found a new Earth-like planet. Well, that means that we're looking for a new home. And so how do we know there others aren't doing the same in the universe? It's a big place. It sure is a big place. So I say that we have to get away from our small thinking of hating each other for these silly reasons and move to a state of quantanglement if we're going to have to deal with our new reality.
Well, thank you. Thanks for your contribution today, Harvey. Always enlightening.
Thank you, Yutri.
Thanks. We'll take this break and come back to your thoughts at 888-874-4888. Lots to say. Bye-bye. Right in a minute. Listening to Lead Stories on PRN.FM, your favorite station and your favorite program, I'm sure. Your calls at 888-874-4888. It is Free Your Mind Friday, and we head to New York again. Linda, you're on the air.
Hello, wonderful Yutri.
Hello.
Thank you so much for taking my call.
Hello, wonderful Linda.
Yes. Thank you for taking my call on Free Your Mind Friday.
Thank you. So help us free our minds as you free yours.
Well, wonderful Yutrice. I'm calling you from the Freedom Party headquarters.
Okay.
At Brooklyn Christian Center at 1061 Atlantic Avenue in the Republic of Brooklyn, New York. I am announcing that today is the beginning of another season of Blackout Black Friday. Dr. King said we need to focus on economic sanctions. And I'm also concerned about us giving some support to Willie Wilson, a Democratic candidate for president in Chicago. And he's scheduled to be speaking on the debate in South Carolina, competing, hopefully, and taking votes from that Hillary Clinton.
Well, let's talk about first things first. You mentioned this Blackout Friday. Explain what this is.
Well, Blackout Friday is the beginning of a movement to stop shopping, a season of absence. We're saying respect yourself and respect your money. Blacks are the most powerful consumer and commodity group in New York City and America, and the most disrespected. Black America is a $1.33 trillion economy. And they start in our community, and we spend our dollars, but yet we can't get a loan. Yet we can't get a job. The people in the banks don't reflect the people in the community. Black votes alone would have elected the mayor of New York with 100,000 votes to spare. All we have is our votes and our money. We spend 41 cents of every consumer dollar is spent in New York City. New York blacks have a spending power that is larger than five states in the United States of America. Our greatest action is our non-action. We need to hold our dollar, not my dollar, until Black Lives Matter. No shopping. We want to shop with black vendors, people that look like us. We're making up a big black book and directing all our people that need to shop and are addicted to shopping and want all the new things to come to the small business, black business sale. Everything is going to be discounted. The best deals around town at 1061 Atlantic Avenue, the Black Vendors Market. Stop shopping with these corporations who disrespect us and don't care about us.
What do you say, Linda, what do you say when people say, well, you know, this is a racist program? You're encouraging people to shop on the basis of their race. What is your response to that?
No, I'm not asking them to shop on the basis of their race. As a matter of fact, we're embracing our white brothers and sisters. We're embracing everyone because the abolitionists, the white people worked with the abolitionists, and we were successful. White folks worked with us in the civil rights movement, and we were successful. And white folks need to work with us in the boycott Black Friday movement. Because we're all in the same boat. The wealthy people, the wealthy corporations are against us all. The poor white people who never suspected they would be in this position, the white middle class, is depressed and ready to kill themselves because they have never been in an economic situation like this. They didn't call them in and tell them, we know what's coming down the pipe if economically. Let us give you some training. Let us give you some education. No, they let them go too. I'm sure that our white brothers and sisters are terrified and traumatized. We're used to struggling like this, but they're not used to it. This is their world. This is their ball. This is their park. They're not supposed to be going through this kind of economic turmoil. No, we welcome them. We're in this together. The disparity between the haves and the have-nots is outrageous. And we need to recognize it, that unified, we can stop this. We must band together to black out Black Friday and beyond.
But you are correct that while this is true and while this could happen and should happen, it is important to start where you must start. And I asked a question, in effect, knowing the answer, because I've been asked this question myself. People say, well, gee, you're advocating, you know, although you're supposedly fighting racism, you're advocating racism. And we have to say, look, what Du Bois and Robeson and all the other folks who have taught us what to do, they all said the same thing. The basis of your oppression is the basis for your action. And if the basis of oppression in the United States happens to be race for the African-American and Latino and Native American communities, it absolutely must be the basis on which they organize. And that is, I'm glad you raised it, and I'm glad that that was your answer, because that is where I agree with you wholeheartedly. Now tell us about the second part of your two-parter today.
Well, everyone knows that we had the Freedom Party, and we had candidates, and we had a governor, and we were up and armed years ago. But right now, we need to recognize that the Democratic and Republican Party are two sides of the same party. They have never done anything for the black community. Never done anything for the white middle class community. Right now, we need to look at not only a third party, but we need to look at we need to explore all our options. We have a candidate running right now, an awesome, awesome candidate for president. Willie Wilson, coming from Chicago, and he is lined up and armed and ready to compete against these scallywags and people who have hoodwinked us and bamboozled us and tricked us. And we need to get behind this brother, and we need to support him. You know, we need a black agenda, and we need a political convention. We need to go from state to state and talk about what we're demanding. For we have been prostituting ourselves, giving up our right to vote, giving up our vote without having anything on the table. It's time for this to stop. We need to become more sophisticated and more savvy. We should be more politically savvy by now. And we need to have people that represent us speak for what we want. We need to lay out our agenda and tell them this is what we want, and unless you get this, we're going to hold back our votes. All we have is our black vote and our black dollar. And right now, I think we recognize that it's time for us to respect ourselves. And we need to have a seat at the table, and we need to make demands right up front. While the conversation is going on now, and while this, we just saw a young man shot 16 times in Chicago, Illinois. And I think it was 30 seconds and 400 days with no indictment, and seven police officers standing there who refused to assist the victim or stop the rogue cop. Isn't that enough for us to hold our dollar and utilize our vote? If we don't get it now, we'll never get it. You know, that boy was turned around by that first bullet. I was horrified and outraged. And this should be, and that Rahm Emanuel, he claimed he didn't see the video. How the heck he didn't see the video and he authorized a $5 million payment and the family never even had a lawsuit? Somebody's lying somewhere. Then we find out the rogue cop had 20 abuses of civil rights, racial slurs, abuse of power, you know, and lied and said the young man lunged at him, and the video never showed it. They suppressed that video and tried to hide it. If this is enough to hold your vote, hold your money, until Black Lives Matter.
Well, thank you. Thank you for this very, very insightful call today and for
thank
contributing
you,
so meaningfully to the program.
You since you were in the City Sun, and I'm going to follow you. I think you need to be running for president. You could be
I'm running from office.
Well, you have the mind and the brilliance, and you really need to rethink that. Because I would support you, and there's plenty of people in New York that are looking to support you. You need to think, rethink about that. The Lord saved your life and has you here for a mission. I think he's putting you on assignment. Think about it, Utrice.
Thanks a lot, Linda. Thank you so much for your call today. Thank you. Rosedale, Jose, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, my professor. How are you?
Fine, thank you, Jose. How are you today?
The LA is here. I'm just calling in to try and liberate my mind somewhat.
Oh, good.
This is a place to do it. Now, hello?
Yes, listening.
Yes. Two quick things. You know, can Rahm Emanuel be recalled?
If there is enough of momentum and there is a petition and it gathers enough signatures and they can put it up for referendum, yes.
Because, you know, this is the conspiracy of the century. Rahm Emanuel and the city council members, and I believe that black elite over there, Jesse and his clans and so forth, they all were complicit in this conspiracy. I believe if this had come out during Rahm Emanuel's election, I don't think he would have made it as mayor. And you know, my professor, we as Africans in America, some of us want to think that we have friends among other groups of people. And I keep trying to tell our people for the longest that we have no friends. in high nor low places. We are our friends. We are supposed to be the friends that we have been looking for. And somehow we can't seem to get that message. And there are those who have, they rode on our backs, and they have acquired all kind of wealth and position and so forth. And now they have discarded us, and we are just floundering out there in the winds. You know, I remembered when Ron Emanuel got that position at the White House. Some reporter interviewed his father, I believe in Israel, and was talking about this position, this high position that his son has gotten and what he thinks his role. I don't remember the exact wording, but folks can go back and look at that interview. Ask him what is the, you know, the role of what role he's going to play in the White House and so forth. And I believe at that time the father said something to the effect that Ron Emanuel is a Jew. He's not an Arab or Palestinian, something of the sort. And he's not going to the White House to mop the floor. That is what this man said. All right? And don't take my word for it. Folks can go back and check that interview of his father in Israel. And Ron Emanuel, and many like Ron Emanuel, seem to believe that we, as the African people and people of color, are Palestinians. We should be treated like the Palestinians, stepped upon and beaten down and all manner of evil done to us. And we have to stand up and tell our so-called friends in the Jewish community that don't just talk about the times that you walk with Dr. King and all that kind of foolishness. But many of the problems that the issue are facing in this country is coming from our friends who was there, they claim, in the civil rights movement, who created the NAACP and Urban League and all these groups and controlled it for their own use and their own purpose. So
I have to ask you an obvious question here.
Yes, my queen. Yes.
Now, all of this is true. Mm-hmm. So all of this I accept as the premise for your argument. But mm-hmm. I also ask you, whose responsibility is it to respond to the African-American community the way the African-American community wishes to have it responded to? Now, is it not really crazy to, in the face of history, in the face of what we know, to continue to hold on to these expectations that you will be treated fairly, that you will have friends, that you people will do the right thing? I mean, isn't that a very naive notion of how this world works?
My professor, I've been trying to get this across to my people for the longest. I am an old man getting ready to go through the pearly gates somewhere along the way, and I've been trying to tell our people we have no friends out there. We are the friends we have been looking for. I don't know what I have to do anymore to try to convey it to them. It's not for lack of trying. I've been doing it for the longest. And so I'm going to leave that alone for the wiser heads to figure out, because I'm exhausted. I don't know what else to do. Right? So there's one other subject I wanted to touch on. Right? I was reading an article in one of the local papers here in Queens a few weeks back. And I saw on the pages of that paper, a big demonstration was taking part someplace over in Springfield Gardens. And I saw one of the local politicians at the head of that charge. And after I read the article and I realized what it was, I said, oh, my God. What they were demonstrating about is this bank, a branch of this bank leaving the community. Well, I hate to call where we live community, because I say it all the time. We don't have communities. We are placeholders in an area. And as soon as those who want to build communities want the area, they move here. They know how to get us out of there. Right? Now, here is it. They are demonstrating, begging this bank not to leave the community. They said, this is our bank, and this is the only bank we have, and whatever, and so forth. And this politician, this man that is supposed to be the leader of the people. And I'm saying to myself, why is it he's not trying, nobody in the community is trying to direct this man to a position where the community could come to, the people could come together and create a credit union. Even a credit union that could come together, because they said some of the most affluent folks live in that section of Queens and so forth. They didn't even have the decency, the dignity, the self-respect to say, let the bank go on about its way. And we will come together and create a credit union. Let our young people see us fighting for our rights and our dignity, not begging a bank to stay in our community, because all they do is suck the life's blood out of us anyway. But let
now,
who was
a politician, if I may ask?
Leroy Comrie, state assemblyman, I believe.
Okay. And which bank was this?
I don't remember exactly, my professor. I don't want to call a name on that. I don't remember because it's one of the mainstream banks.
Well, this is the thing. You're correct about this business of why beg a bank to stay in your neighborhood. Number one is I've done many articles on redlining and going back quite a way. Especially in Queens, which would include that area, Springfield Gardens, where literally and disproportionately African-American communities in Queens, and that is one of them, Jamaica is also another one, disproportionately experienced foreclosures than any other community in the entire state of New York. Number two, the banks were compelled under the Community Reinvestment Act to reinvest in these communities, and they never did. They got away with that, despite the fact that these communities overwhelmingly are represented by African Americans. The third thing is, nobody has ever challenged the charter of these banks. And that's where you go. You don't beg them to come in. Move to shut them down.
Good.
That's the whole point. And you're correct about the community should be encouraging banks. There is Carver Federal Savings and Loan to maybe encourage them to set up more branches in their communities. But there's a black bank in nearby. It certainly has branches in the community. The question is, what are they doing? Are they investing? Are they supporting the black bank that is available to them? You see, so the first thing is shut the bank down. Challenge the charter. Challenge them under the Community Reinvestment Act. They're not doing what they're supposed to be doing. They're not reinvesting. They're not issuing loans. They're not funding mortgages. They're not lending. Their practices are patently racist and discriminatory. And this has been going on for decades.
Yes.
This is not a thing that just happened yesterday.
Yes.
They have some place to go here with holding the quality of leadership accountable, because it seems to me that running around begging a bank to stay is just so wrong on so many levels.
Yes.
They ought to be putting some fire
at themselves.
You know? So thanks so much for calling today, Jose, and bringing us up to snuff in your neighborhood. Thank you.
You're welcome, my professor, and enjoy the rest of the weekend, all right?
Thank you so much. And thank you all for contributing so meaningfully today to this program. And that's why Free Your Mind Friday exists. It's an opportunity, it's a forum, and people can basically share with us what their thoughts are about all these various things. It's part of building community, and that's what we need to do. We need to build community. Thanks so much for calling in. And, of course, being a weekend, try and associate with people bringing positive dimension to your life, and do the other piece of work, too. Just jettison anybody who is not doing anything to bring positive dimension to your life. Stay tuned. Coming up next, Guns and Butter. You can reach me at leadstories@gmail.com. And as always, a pleasure and a great, great privilege to be in your company. We'll see each other on Monday. But in the meantime, really take good care of yourselves. Do associate with very, very good and positive people. And keep yourself safe. See you Monday. Bye-bye.